Hello everyone, this is Chuck Fry from the Mind Mapping Software blog. Welcome to the January 2012 Mind Mapping Coaching Call. Thanks to those of you who submitted questions. We've got some very good ones this month. Without further ado, let's get started. First, Kathy explains, I'm creating an estate planning organizer. The organizer has a lot of forms, but the ones someone would need to complete can be visualized with a mind map. Here are my questions, and she has three of them. First, how can you use a mind map to help someone visualize what forms or sections they should complete? Kathy, it sounds like you have some really specific needs. You want to know how to depict this visually so it stands out when your client looks at it. That's what I'm presuming anyway. I'd recommend doing this with a symbol or icon, say a green flag icon if your program has one of those. The connotation of green in most cultures is go. So those forms that the client needs to fill out could be given a green flag icon, while those that are optional could perhaps be tagged with a yellow flag. You could also potentially use text or topic shape colors to designate those forms that your client must fill out. Again, I'd recommend using green to highlight those that they must do something with, and perhaps color the rest that they don't need to pay attention to gray to make them fade more into the background. If you need to communicate any special instructions to your client, you could also do that using topic notes. Remember, part of this task is training your client on what to look for and what to act upon, so I would recommend that you include a legend in your map that explains this to avoid confusion. If you're emailing this mind map to them, you also have another opportunity to explain what they should do in the body of your email. To make this a little easier to explain visually, I quickly created a PDF file with two versions of a simple forms map that illustrates these two methods that I've just described, and you'll find a link to it in the list of resources in the blog post where you found this podcast. One final thought. For those forms they don't have to fill out, you may want to consider creating one master mind map that contains all possible topics and linked forms, and then customize it for each customer. In other words, if John Smith doesn't need to fill out certain forms, then you should delete those branches from the map before you send it to him. That reduces visual clutter and potentially confusion. In addition, it's highly unlikely that all of your clients use mind mapping software, so you might want to rethink this concept overall. What might be more realistic is creating an internal checklist that you can use to make sure you're asking new clients all of the right questions and are collecting all of the information you need to serve them effectively, and then just email them or hand them these forms, just the ones they need to fill out, and manage it that way. And that internal map could include links to all of the forms you may need. So as you're going through kind of a checklist or procedure, you have fingertip access to those key forms that the client needs to fill out. Here's Kathy's second question related to this project. If you have created the mind maps, how could you convert them to a clickable PDF that could be included in an ebook? First, let's talk about the idea of a clickable PDF. This only works if you're using Mind Manager. MindJet, the developer of Mind Manager, is the only mind mapping software developer that enables users to create flash-enhanced PDFs. In other words, you can export your mind maps to an enhanced PDF format that actually has flash capabilities embedded in it, and that enables you to expand and collapse map branches and click on links. Now, I'm not sure if you can actually use this enhanced PDF to click on link files. I believe that's a possibility. It might only support hypertext links, though, but the way around that is somewhat simple. You simply have them FTP the files to your web server. That's something that your IT department can probably help you with, and then link to the URLs of those files from your mind map. In other words, you make your documents available in the way that's easiest for the map viewer to handle. The other aspect of your question I want to address is the idea of including a clickable map within an ebook. Let's take this one step at a time to make it clear. Let's say you're using Microsoft Word to write and publish your ebook. That's what many people do. You're then going to create mind maps, and to get them into your Word document, you need to embed them as images. At that point, your mind map has lost any interactivity. It's not clickable. Then you're going to export your Word document to a PDF file to create the ebook. So this brings on two problems that I wanted to touch on. First, as I told you, your mind map won't be clickable because it's based simply on an image that was embedded in the Word doc. But secondly, and perhaps more importantly, some of the mind maps you may want to include in your ebook may be very large and complex. In other words, big enough that they won't be legible when reduced to an 8.5 by 11 inch format, which is the customary format for most ebooks. You'd be better off making them available as separate PDF files. That way you can export the more complex maps in this enhanced PDF format we just talked about. And if you, let's just say you made all this available on a secure web page, you'd enable your clients to download the ebook, which would contain primarily words and images. And then you'd provide separate links for the enhanced PDFs, which would be interactive and which would be much more able to accommodate legibility of large maps. In other words, you could zoom in and zoom out, which obviously you can't do on a mind map that's embedded on a page of a PDF file. I hope that makes sense and meets your needs. Kathy's third and final question is this one. Could you actually enter data into the fields of a mind map? In other words, for example, you click house, you click type of ownership, you select from a choice that gets stored in a database. Can you actually write to a database as part of building out a mind map? Well, Kathy, the Mind Manager program is available in a format or in a version that enables you to do some back and forth passing of data with SharePoint, but that's about it. I don't know of any mind mapping program that can do this kind of data gathering, you know, and export the information to a database. If you're using Mind Manager, you could set up small spreadsheet cell ranges with headings for the data you want to collect, and then blank cells adjacent to them where your client could fill in the data. But that would be more or less freeform and not connected to a database in any way. The other shortcoming with this approach is you can't really force people to choose one of a limited number of possible answers, like you could do in a database with a pull-down list, where they can only answer one of those five things and nothing else. It's an intriguing idea, but I'm afraid no mind mapping program does that today. I would suggest, though, that might be the next frontier, if you will, for mind mapping software, is greater database connections. Olaf asks, I'm very interested to hear if someone's using Mind Manager for project portfolio management and how they're doing it. Olaf, I posted messages to several Mind Manager discussion groups on this subject, but don't have much feedback yet. So let's have a go at this based on my knowledge of what Mind Manager is capable of, and perhaps we can add the real-world perspective to this in time for next month's podcast. For those of you who may not be familiar with the concept of project portfolio management, here's the Wikipedia definition. Project Portfolio Management, or PPM, is a term used by project managers and project management organizations to describe methods for analyzing and collectively managing a group of current or proposed projects based on certain key characteristics. The fundamental objective of PPM is to determine the optimal mix and sequencing of proposed projects to best achieve the organization's overall goals. And usually these are expressed in terms of hard economic measures, business strategy goals, or technical strategy goals. And this has to function within constraints imposed by management or real-world factors like budgeting, manpower, and other resources. So, given this definition, there's no question that Mind Manager is an excellent tool for managing individual projects, and it contains a great tool set for tracking start and end dates of project tasks, for example, tracking percentage complete, tracking the use and allocation of resources, and those sorts of things. It can do Gantt charts based on this data, and in the latest version, you can even do resource leveling to ensure you're not overloading one person on your team while others may be going underutilized. But project portfolio management is the next step up from individual projects. At this level, we need to be able to make trade-offs between projects. Which ones should we tackle first? What comes next? And how to make this all fit within limited budget and manpower and other resource constraints. To do this, you would potentially create a master map that contains links to all the individual projects. And at this macro level, in the master map, you could keep track of the metrics you're using to evaluate the priority, sequencing, budget, and other aspects of the projects that make up your proposed portfolio. As I reviewed Wikipedia's article about PPM, I did find a decision tree map, in other words, a right-facing map, that's used as an example of one method of optimizing a project portfolio. It lays out one project on each first-level branch with the amount of project investment listed as part of that. Drilling down, a single subtopic appears for project revenues, which then splits into subtopics that contain cost estimates for each scenario. Both optimistic and pessimistic estimates, best and worst case scenarios, in other words. This type of diagram could also be used to factor in the relative risk level of each project, so that in a single view, you can get a clear idea of what combination of projects is going to yield the greatest return on investment. You see, the underlying idea is to consider your portfolio of potential projects in the same way you would build a portfolio of financial investments. In both cases, you're trying to select a small group of investments that will give you the maximum return on your investment with an acceptable level of risk. Actually, it's hard to describe this decision tree map in an audio podcast, so I strongly suggest you take a look at the map on the Wikipedia page, and I've included a link in the blog post where you found this audio file, so you can see that for yourself. And I think you can approximate this in a mind map that is right-facing. One suggestion, however, if you want to be able to replicate this type of decision tree map and be able to roll up the investment and potential revenue figures from the lower levels of the map to the higher levels, MindManager can't do that for you. It will roll up tasks, but not anything else. MindView, however, does have some extended math capabilities that let you do this. In addition, it offers a full set of project management tools that's very comparable to MindManager, and I think it's another great option for you to consider. And I've provided a link to MindView in the list of resources. Also, if you were to do a search on the blog for MindView, you should find a review of the last version, which does talk about the project management capabilities of it. Just before I produced this podcast, I did get one response to my question on LinkedIn that suggests that a MindManager plugin called Aha Matrix may be of some help in producing color-coded charts that will help you to do a quick scan and comparison of the information in your MindManager map using color coding for exception reporting. In other words, everything that's done is a certain color, everything that's at risk is another color, everything that remains to be done is a third color, so you can very quickly get a visual idea of what the challenges are, what the tasks are that remain to be done. It's a useful tool, potentially, for what you have in mind. And look for a link in the list of resources that you can explore to learn more about this Aha Matrix tool. I hope this helps you, Olaf, and I'll try and get you more information next month as I find more about how people are actually using this. Bill asks, I'm interested in purchasing a mind mapping program for my work as a financial advisor and financial life planner, but I don't know which program would make the most sense for me. I'm a solo practitioner for now. I'd like to use the program to organize and systematize my business along with making presentations to client. Would either MindManager 2012 or NovaMind 5 work better for me, or something else entirely? I want the maps to look nice, be easy to create, and have functionality. It would also be nice if they could be presented on an Android tablet as well, or created on one. Bill, I know a financial planner in the Chicago area who's using mind maps with his high net worth clients. It's working so well that he now gives workshops where he explains the techniques he has developed with other financial planners, and he does hold these at various places around the country. His name is Gary Klaben, and you can actually find an interview I conducted with him as part of the Mind Mapping Insider resources. Just go to the main page and look under interviews, and you should find him. I've also provided a link to his workshops in the blog post you use to listen to this podcast. Gary uses Mind Genius right now, but is in the process of transitioning to Mind Manager, not because of any shortcoming of Mind Genius. It's been a very good program for him and his staff. The main reason he's making the change is because of his workshops. Because Mind Manager is more widely accepted, it's more likely that the financial planners he's teaching will already have it and be familiar with it. Gary and his team use mind maps as part of the process of gathering financial portfolio information from new clients and also to present their recommended investment strategy to clients. Most companies tend to use mind mapping strictly as a back office tool. That is to handle the behind-the-scenes processes that customers never see, things like project management and brainstorming. But Gary and his team have moved forward fearlessly by using it as a tool with customers with some outstanding results. Based on what I know of Gary's work, I think nearly any mind mapping program will work for your needs, because basically what he's doing is taking all of the elements of the client's portfolio, laying those out visually, and then connecting forms as PDFs, spreadsheets, legal documents, and so forth. That all gets connected to it as attachments, and pretty much any mind mapping tool can do that. Finally, you asked about being able to present mind maps on an Android tablet. MindJet recently released a version of Mind Manager for Android, and they should be in the process of tying that into their Connect collaborative workspace platform, so you can move your maps seamlessly between the tablet and the desktop. Right now, you'd probably have to email them back and forth, which is not as slick, but it should still work for you. Tony asks, what programs do you recommend for concept mapping? Thanks for your question, Tony. Concept mapping is very similar to mind mapping with several important differences. Concept maps usually contain general concepts at the top of the map with more specific concepts arrayed hierarchically below that. Connector lines usually contain keywords or phrases that summarize the relationship between the topics they connect, such as topic A causes topic B. Also, topics can be cross-linked with each other to depict more complex relationships between topics. Topics and mind maps, as you probably know, only have one parent. In a concept map, a topic may have multiple connector lines, each one representing a different relationship. Most mind mapping programs, as I said, allow a topic to have a single parent, and that makes them not terribly useful for creating concept maps. The best program for doing this, in my opinion, is Inspiration from Inspiration Software, or its web equivalent, which is called Webspiration. This program is very easy to use. You can drag and drop topics anywhere you need in the workspace and then connect them together and easily add the descriptors to each line to explain how the two topics are related. What's nice is you can do this with a minimum of training. Right out of the box, you can probably start creating things. That's how easy it is to use. There are several other dedicated concept mapping programs available, including IHMC's CMAP tools and Compendium, but in my opinion, they're not as polished or as easy to use. And I have provided links to those for you, so if you want to explore those, you can. In addition, several of the business diagramming programs on the market, such as SmartDraw and the web-based Gliffy, should enable you to create concept maps because of the fact that you can create a set of topics in freeform fashion within different shapes, add those to the workspace, move them around in the configuration you want, then add connections to them, including multiple connections, and then add descriptors to the links. So I think you can approximate a concept map in business mapping software as well. But for my money, the best, most mature, and easiest to use program that is suitable for concept mapping is Inspiration. And it is simply inspiration.com. Thanks for your question, Tony. That's it for my January mind mapping coaching call. Thanks again for sending me your questions. And remember, you can submit them to me at any time at chuck@innovationtools.com. You can also do this via the feedback form on the blog and via my Twitter account, which is simply Chuck Frey, C-H-U-C-K-F-R-E-Y, no spaces. I look forward to talking with you next month. Once again, this has been Chuck Frey from the Mind Mapping Software Blog, signing off. See you on the blog.